Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the RIIO-T1 and GD1 final proposal city presentation on Monday, 17th of December 2012. Throughout today's recorded presentation, all participants will be in a listen-only mode. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. If any participant has difficulty hearing the presentation, please press the star followed by the zero on your telephone for operator assistance. I will now hand the conference over to Alistair Buchanan. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you very much. Good afternoon, everybody. It's Alistair Buchanan. I'm the Chief Executive of the British regulator, Ofgem. The sell-side analysts this morning, I think, have captured the essence of the two packages that we're presenting today, both for transmission companies and gas distribution companies. Firstly, the headline financial criteria is largely unchanged from the initial proposals in the summer, but the proposals are detailed and will take time to digest, is what was said, and I think this is very correct. Now, some quick comments from me before I hand over to Iain and then to Hannah. Firstly, we believe this has been a good process. The board has felt that they've had much more clarity from the companies and about the price controls than they had under the previous methodology. Secondly, we said we would listen to new compelling data and arguments, particularly if this had not had a full opportunity in the initial proposals. And I would urge you to look in particular at the uncertainty mechanisms and the reopeners that we've listed within the documentation. Thirdly, we warned at the initial proposals that we would be unimpressed if we felt that data could have been in place. In other words, if we'd been purposefully hoodwinked or in rugby parlance, an intent to harm in an aggressive tackle. Again, I'm pleased to say that by and large, that has not been the case at all. Fourthly, we alerted you to the fact that between the summer and now, we would want to look at corrections and errors, and that they will occur in a package of this scale and complexity. We've picked those up. If you look at the baselines in particular, it's quite an interesting lead here. For National Grid electricity, for example, the baseline's gone from $11.2 billion to $11.7 billion, and on the gas side, $2.2 billion to $2.5 billion. Finally, the board's keen to show that it is and remains sympathetic to sustainable development issues, and you'll see on our rulings on both visual amenity and the network innovation allowance that we're very much still trying to promote the two eyes of RIIO within this package. As this will be the last time that I front a price control in my current job, I want to thank all of the listeners for their support and help over the last 10 years, particularly those of you who are listening today who directly helped us in the RPI-X Exit 20 project that led to the creation of the RIIO. And I hope I have time to thank you personally before next June when I stand down. If I don't come on again today, if Iain and Hannah are basically handling all the questions, I'm sorry to dump such a huge wodge of work on your desk just before Christmas, but nevertheless, I do hope you have a very good festive period. I'm now going to hand over to Iain and then to Hannah, and then we'll have any questions at the end. Iain.
Hello, I'm Iain Marley. I'm Senior Partner of Transmission here at Ofgem. Just very quickly, a quick reminder of RIIO and the new approach to network regulation that, for which these are the first controls. It is a new framework, and it was all about delivering investment and sustainability at lowest cost to consumer, with a particular focus on output and more onus on the companies to engage, justify their plans, and then deliver their plans. What we have consistently said is that good companies under RIIO will be rewarded, with the flip side that actually companies that don't demonstrably deliver will actually have nowhere to hide. And we, just to re-emphasise, we think that investors have a key role to play in this in terms of keeping pressure on management. Now, the it's worth saying before we go into the main slides for today that the fast-track final proposals have already been issued and they were issued back in April. That was for Scottish hydroelectric transmission and for Scottish power transmission. There are no material changes in those final proposals that we've announced today albeit we have made some updates in some areas. I will now go on to talking about the final proposals that we have announced today. For those following the presentation, this is on slide 8. So these are the transmission RIIO-T1 final proposals, where for comparison we have given you the Scottish Hydroelectric PLC fast track final proposals and the SPTL final proposals were announced back in April. For National Grid Electricity Transmission, you'll see that our base view is £12 billion and our best view expenditure for them is £14.5 billion. A cost of equity of 7%, a notional gearing of 60%, the cost of debt on the iBox 10-year trailing average that we previously announced, asset life transition of 8 years and capitalisation rate of 85%. And then for NGGT, a base view 2.9 billion expenditure, best view 4.9 billion expenditure, cost of equity 6.8%, that same cost of debt trailing average, a notional gearing of 62.5%, and a base capitalisation of 64% and incremental 90%. Now on the next slide, it shows you how that's changed from the company's own business plans through our own initial proposals and through to final proposals. The biggest change between our initial proposals and our final proposals in relation to the financial numbers is the base capitalisation rate for NGGT, for National Grid Gas Transmission, where the base capitalisation rate has gone from 53% up to 64%. Actually, this is simply calculated from the mix in the plans between CapEx and OpEx. We have moved CapEx from the incremental to the baseline, which has naturally therefore raised that capitalisation rate. So there's no policy distinction there between initial proposals and final proposals. Moving on, the next table just sets out those in terms of CapEx and OpEx and the movements between the first business plan, the revised business plan, our initial proposals and final proposals. I don't propose to go through those tables, but clearly I'm happy to pick up questions as we go through. But moving on to slides 11 and 12, slide 11 gives a bit more of an idea of where we've moved between initial proposals and final proposals. The financial package for NGET is unchanged. We have again done our assessment and consider that that gives NGET a comfortable investment grade credit rating. We have confirmed that we think that it should have the same cost of equity as we gave to the Scottish TOs, with a gearing of 60%, which we think is appropriate for the size relative to the investment program. One of the big issues that we picked up between IP and FP was National Grid's concern that we were not funding CapEx that they were incurring in RIIO-T1 to deliver outputs in RIIO-T2, and we have addressed that by including an extra $425 million in the period to deal with that issue. Alistair mentioned the visual amenity point where we are raising the expenditure cap, the initial expenditure cap from $100 million to $500 million. This is for work on the visual amenity of existing assets. We have accepted some of National Grid's arguments and seen more detail on new information in relation to the Network Innovation Allowance, and we have decided to increase that from 0.6% to 0.7%. And we have, again, listened to the arguments of National Grid in relation to their concerns that there was an uncapped penalty in the initial proposals on any over or under delivery of network replacement outputs. This is the long-term asset health measures that we have, and so we've therefore actually specified what that penalty or reward would be. For National Grid Gas Transmission, we have kept with the same financial parameters. And again, we've done testing and ensured that, in our view, there is a comfortable investment credit grade credit rating that the companies can achieve. Excuse me. We have recognized that there is likely to be more compressor expenditure than was assumed in IPE. Actually, it was always in an uncertainty mechanism, but we've moved some of that expenditure from the baseline, from the uncertainty mechanism into the baseline. We have looked again at new evidence that was provided to us between initial proposals and final proposals, and increased baseline unit cost allowances for compressors and pipelines. We've given a bit more of a cushion in terms of assumptions on what the incremental CapEx is likely to be, given the uncertainty around expenditure on gas transmission networks. We have, as with all of the controls, we've actually looked again at the RPEs and corrected errors that there were in the IP to the extent there were those. And again, similarly, we have looked at some of the areas where National Grid were concerned that their exposure was uncapped. One of those was the asset health area, and similarly here, we have said that we should put a collar on their exposure on constraint management to protect from low probability, high impact events. I'll now hand over to Hannah, who will talk about the gas distribution control.
Okay, thank you. I'm Hannah Nixon, Senior Partner for Distribution. I'm just going to spend a few minutes outlining the VO GD1 control. So today we've also released final proposals for the 8 gas distribution networks. As for transmission, that sets the outputs, revenues and incentives for the 8 years from the 1st of April next year. At initial proposals, we said that we'd only make changes to the control if we identified errors or new compelling information was brought forward. And so we have stuck to that. So the headline financials for VOGD1 are unchanged. If you're following the slide pack, I'm on page 14 now of the slides. So you'll see there that the cost of equity is at 6.7. The cost of debt, we're maintaining the 10-year trailing average on the iBox index. Gearing 65%. VEPEX transition stepped over the 8 years, so averages out at 75%. The one slight methodological tweak we've made since initial proposals here is on how we calculate the capitalisation. The details of that tweak are in the document, but effectively it has a very, very small change on the actual capitalisation rate of each company, and it is a minor one. This is a technical change. In revenue terms, looking over onto the next slide, you'll see that total revenues for all 8 GDNs in total have increased by about $1.5 billion since initial proposals. And the main change there is an increase in funding for Iron Mains replacement, and that's where companies have submitted further evidence that justifies a higher level of outputs for consumers. So that additional expenditure will drive higher output levels in terms of safety and in terms of environmental benefits for consumers. That's about $750 million of the $1.5 billion. Another $350 million of that is also associated with higher outputs, particularly in relation to reliability. And then the remainder reflects changes that we've made to our methodology, particularly around benchmarking, both in response to feedback we had from people on our initial proposals consultation, and to reflect the fact that we've had an additional year of data, of real data from the GDN since initial proposals. And we've also corrected some of the inevitable errors that were identified in the detail of the calculations in initial proposals. So that's the main change. We did flag that clearly as initial proposals. As you'll be aware, we did actually take out a lot of the proposed VEPEX expenditure for a number of the companies back at initial proposals on the basis that at that point they hadn't justified that expenditure. If you look at the slide 15, you'll see that a reasonable amount of money has gone back on VEPEX for National Grid, for Scottish SGN and for WWU. And then if you flick over onto the next slide, it just sets out, as I said, the sort of breakdown of the change in the numbers since IP. So that's all I'm proposing to say on RIIO GD1. The final slide of your pack just picks up very briefly on RIIO ED1, which I just wanted to draw your attention to. We're still a little way out from that, as RIIO ED1 will set the price controls for the 14 electricity distribution companies for the 8 years in 2015. But despite it still being 2 years away, that price control is already in full swing. In fact, we recently consulted on our strategy for ED1. We're going to firm that strategy up in February, and that strategy will set the outputs, incentives, and key parameters of the control for ED1. The slide on slide 17 just highlights the key parameters that we've consulted on. I'm not going to go through them, but I think the important thing to note here is that they are all consistent with RIIO GD1 and T1, so there shouldn't be any surprises for you on that side.
Great. Thank you, Ian and Hannah. Folks, we're over to Q&A, and if you'd like to ask any questions, please do. We schedule this to end in about 10 minutes, but if nobody has a question, then we'll let everybody get away and enjoy their final week before Christmas.
Thank you. If any participant would like to ask a question, please press the star followed by the one on your telephone. If you wish to cancel this request, please press the star followed by the two. Your questions will be polled in the order they are received. There will be a short pause whilst participants register for a question. Thank you. Our first question comes from Jamie Tunisil from Redburn. Please go ahead with your question.
Yes, good afternoon. It's Jamie Tunisil from Redburn. Just looking at the financial ratio calculations in the model, and for National Grid gas transmission, you use a sort of different level of, an opening level of gearing of 56.9 and show the ratios on that basis. I'm just trying to understand what the purpose of that is, because clearly that's not what's driving revenues. I know I can go in and change it and look on the ratios using the 62.5, but just trying to understand the purpose of that. That's the first question. The second question was just to ask about those unit cost changes in terms of gas compressors and what led you to make that change.
Okay, Ian Marley here again. So the first question is really relates to, goes back to when we did the rollover for TPCR4, which is the existing price control. It was due to finish in March 2012. And we did a one-year rollover to March 2013. At the time, the companies requested that we didn't effectively do the re-gearing at the beginning of RIIO T1. What they wanted us to do for financeability purposes was to look at the nine-year period from the beginning of the TPCR4 rollover. And they asked us to do that across all companies, and therefore that's what we've done for both National Grid Electricity Transmission and National Grid Gas Transmission, is effectively look at that by not doing the re-gearing at the beginning of RIIO T1, and that's consistent with the modelling that we've then done. On the second question...
It makes the ratios look a lot better than they are in reality, though, because your revenues are driving off your 62.5.
And actually, there is also an impact for National Grid Electricity Transmission that's the other way around. We're simply following...
But you're not looking at the two businesses in combination. You're looking at each business to look at the financeability.
So what we're doing is what the company's asked us to do, which is and maintaining that consistent policy.
It's just cosmetic then, isn't it? Because the revenues are not driven off that 56.9, they're driven off your 62.5.
Okay. The second question, it relates to the unit costs, and that is the fact is that we got more evidence from National Grid in relation to the unit costs. We've looked at that information. It is a richer source of information than we had before, and we've used that information to update those unit costs. That's what we've then used for our final proposal.
Okay, thank you. Next question
Thank you. Our next question comes from Peter Bisztyga from Barclays. Please go ahead with your question.
Hi. Good afternoon. Another question on NG gas transmission. You make the point in the documentation today that financeability is about more than credit ratios alone, but it doesn't matter if certain credit ratios dip below the threshold. But even with that said, the picture on NGGT looks pretty worrying. I mean, all of the ratios are deteriorating on a sustained trend, and several appear to end up below the threshold for triple B. So, you know, the question is, are you not concerned that the rating agencies will take this sort of clear deteriorating trend into account when making their rating assessment?
So you're right that we do look at financeability from a broad perspective. We don't simply look at the credit metrics. As we say in the document, actually, the credit metrics are only a part, maybe 30 to 40% of what we would generally expect the ratings agencies to use in terms of their overall rating. Actually, we take a conservative view of financeability, looking at the worst 3 years and doing our assessment on that basis. And we've done that. We've done that for NGGT, and it is our view that NGGT still would comfortably have an investment credit grade rating across the period.
Fair enough. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Fraser McLaren from Bank of America Merrill Lynch. Please go ahead with your question.
Good afternoon, everyone. Just a few quick questions, if I may. Have you made any changes to your assessment of the scope to out or underperform the benchmarks? Number two is on transmission competitive tendering. Could you just clarify, please, what is in and out with the scope of the ongoing work that you're doing? And the third one is just quickly on RPI, and if you could just remind us, please, why you chose to defer a decision on any RPI changes and what the process looks like from here. Thanks.
Okay, I think we've got a twofer here. They're both gagging to answer your question, Fraser.
I'll pick up first on your first question around ability to outperform. On the gas distribution side, in the financeability supporting document, on page 34, which is figure 4.1, we have actually set out our revised RORI analysis, which gives an indication of what we see as sort of realistic up and downside on the control. That has been updated to reflect the new allowed revenue numbers. So to the extent that now you can outperform on a wider package, then the outperformance has increased slightly. We've also been clearer to the extent there was uncertainty at IT that companies will be able to take the benefit on any REPEX outperformance if we do then go to move to update in light of any change HSE makes in the next few years. So again, it's clearer that there's upside potential for them then. But the new range is set out very clearly in that diagram.
In respect of your second question in relation to the scope for competition, what we have said is that, and I think we've consistently said this as part of the Rio discussions, that we do think that potentially competitive tendering for certain activities may well form an important part of the future control. That work we have now been looking at in a broader context in a project we're calling Integrated Transmission Planning and Regulation. That's our ITPR project. And that's where we're taking that work forward. We have made it clear in our documents that any work that any of the transmission companies do, we do need to recognise that if they are doing, for example, pre-construction works, we do effectively land that competition in transmission policy, that they may have to transfer that pre-construction work across to a third party. But this work is still underway, as I said, as part of our ITPR project.
And then the final question I think you raised, which was in relation to RPI. So we've been very clear that the price controls will continue to be indexed against RPI. But then if and when the ONS does come out with a decision to change that RPI, we will look at what that means for the price controls. And subject to a materiality test, we will make the price controls good, and that's a symmetric up and downside adjustment. And we've done that because at the moment we don't know what the ONS will come out with, and until we do, we can't say what the impact on the controls will be.
Many thanks.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Ian Turner from Exam. Please go ahead with your question.
Good afternoon, everybody. Can I take you back to slide 12 and the fifth bullet point, the £112 million reduction in RPEs and the £391 reduction in further clarifications? Could you just give us a bit more colour on that, whether it's OPEX or CAPEX, and what sort of thing those clarifications involve, please?
Sure. So the reduction in the recalculation of RPEs, actually that is a common, so the number will be different, but it's we've taken a common approach across the controls. There is a separate document that we've published today called RIIO-T1 GD1 Real Price Effects and Ongoing Efficiency Appendix. It's one of the more shorter documents that we've published, and that is on our website. But that effectively just looks at the new information that we've got and helps us to then work out what the most appropriate RPEs to set there is. The £391 million is, most of that was an error in the IPs where we had double counted the Fleetwood project, which was a CAPEX project, and that's the vast majority of that expenditure. But there were other in effect, double counts that we have identified and corrected.
So mostly CAPEX, yeah?
Yes, that's right.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Dominic Nash from Liberum Capital. Please go ahead with your question.
Good afternoon. I've got a couple of questions, please. The first one is going back to your National Grid gas transmission. On a top-down sort of level, I think on slides 9 and 10, you've got no change in your OPEX numbers and no change in your CAPEX numbers, but your RCV growth is now actually lower, yet you've managed to reduce the total revenue allowed into the gas transmission business. So the question is how is that possible? And the second question I've got is on the notional new equity, where you've got £1.8 billion going into the electricity transmission business. How did you calculate this 1.8, and is that related to the starting position of the debt to RCV that I think Jamie might have alluded to on the gas side, which was at 55, and on the electricity is at 64?
Well, let me answer the second question first. The way we calculate notional equity injections is a deterministic way in the model that is in effect proportional to the amount of CAPEX investment that's going in. In effect, once the CAPEX reaches a certain level and the actual notional gearing model reaches a certain level, then effectively that triggers a notional equity injection. It was lower in IP, it was actually higher in National Grid Zone plans, and again, it's just proportional to the level of CAPEX spending. Sorry, can you repeat your first question? I didn't quite catch that.
Yeah, no problem. It's just on a sort of top-down basis. You're keeping OPEX the same. Your depreciation charges, if anything, are having to go up because your CAPEX is the same, but your RCV growth is now lower. Yet you seem to say that there's a lower, and the cost of capital is the same, so you seem to say that there's a lower revenue growth. So I'm just trying to work out how those don't add up.
So actually, what we've got is effectively, we've got money that we've transferred from the uncertainty mechanism that's fundamentally CAPEX into our baseline, and what that leads to is a lower RAV due to those capitalization changes. Effectively, what's happening is that you've got the we've actually applied a reduction in the capitalization rate to compressors, and actually what that's done is it's increased fast money. Revenue has still declined as additional fast money has been offset in reductions in tax, allowed return due to the lower cost of debt index, and lower pension funding following updates for 2011-12 actuals.
Maybe one you want to take off. That sounds like we're getting into sort of the third level of detail. If you want to come back on that one, do.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Edmund Reed from JP Morgan. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, guys. Two questions. Firstly, on your RORI analysis, I've got the chart in front of me, and for NGET, it looks like the incentives are disproportionately to the downside, and I wanted to check if I had understood the chart correctly, and if so, why that was the case. And the second question is just what the next steps are. So I think that Grid has put out a statement this morning saying that they are likely to respond sort of February, March, and I wondered how that worked with the timetable in terms of new licenses, et cetera.
So, yeah, do you want to pick up the timetable
first? I'll pick up the timetable point first. So at the back of both the overview documents, we've set out our next steps. So the immediate next step is to set out the license changes for StatCon. The intention is to set those out in the next couple of days. We then work through the timetable. So the StatCon has to go out for 28 days. We obviously added in extra days to take into account the bank holidays over the Christmas period. And then after that, we then need to take into consideration any feedback to that consultation and then issue the license direction. Once the direction goes out, the companies have 20 working days to appeal that before implementation. So working back from the price control becoming effective on the 1st of April, I think the last day we can issue the direction is the 1st of Feb, which is and then the companies will have 20 working days from the 1st of Feb. And I don't think there are any bank holidays in that, so that would take us 4 weeks out from that, basically.
Okay, great. Very helpful.
And then on your first question, if you look to, this might be one that we need to give more detail offline, to be honest. It's quite a detailed question. But if you look to our financing supporting document for RIIO-T1 on page 37, then we do set out the estimated RORI ranges for NGET and NGGT. And there is effectively more upside on some things like the IQI additional income clearly, but also there is more downside on the unplanned outages. It is worth saying that really what we look at here is the right policies, and then the RORI is if you like a check to see the kinds of returns that can be made. So again, I'm happy to pick that one up in more detail if you want to offline.
Yeah, that would be great. Thank you very much.
Thank you. We have a follow-up question from Jamie Tunisil. Please go ahead with your question.
Yes, hello. Just coming back on the ratios for National Grid gas transmission. So is there anywhere in the document that talks about the ratios in sort of the sort of numbers you are coming out, or is it really just the model that you've got to refer to? And then just on your assertion that, you know, about very comfortable investment-grade credit rating for National Grid gas transmission, I presume that's on the basis of the 62.5, that you sort of would overwrite that in the model and look at these ratios, and then you feel those are very comfortable for investment-grade. Thanks.
So we do have more detail in the finance supporting document for RIIO-T1. Appendix 2 sets out the financeability ratios that we've looked at in terms of the best view. But we also have run some Monte Carlo simulations, and Appendix 4 goes through, in effect, some of the detail of that, and there are various tables there. But we do look at the 62.5. We clearly model the 62.5 notional gearing, but we also do model the re-gearing, and that's on page 88 of the finance supporting document in a table there.
Thanks, Jamie. Any other final questions, or we'll call it a day there?
Thank you, sir. We have a question from Andrew Mulder from Credit Suites. Please go ahead.
Okay, that's the last one.
Okay.
Yep. Bye, Andrew.
Hi, thanks. No, I just wanted to ask about that table that I can see on page 88, the one you just mentioned, I mean, that's showing credit ratios of Baa2 BBB. I guess that's under some sort of stress test scenario. You know, I just wonder, what exactly does that show? I mean, how are you stressing it there? And if that's under a stress test, perhaps you could share with us what sort of ratios you believe the companies would achieve under normal conditions, so say at a 50% rather than at 95%.
Well, I think we've consistently said that what we're using these tests for is not to set the policy, but as a back check to look at, in effect, whether or not we think our conclusions are financeable. So, again, I'm happy to take some of this offline in terms of the information that's there, but we wouldn't actually say, we don't actually publish effectively those credit ratings that we've come up with.
No. But you published that table with the credit ratings in.
We did publish this table with the credit ratings in specifically because what we were doing here was trying to look at the Monte Carlo simulation and the effect that would have, and therefore we felt that it was right to publish that particular table in those particular circumstances, which, as you've said, are quite particular in terms of stress tests that we've done.
And can I just ask, then, with those stress tests, I mean, are you happy that if the companies did go down to Baa2 BBB, they could still finance themselves effectively?
We've always said that we are looking at making sure that a company can get an investment credit rating, and that's the test that we've applied. In our view, having done the test, these companies are well within that comfortable range.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, well, that's positive-ish. I will wrap it up at our end and just say again, thank you very much for coming online today. If you want to come back, and I'm sure some of you will, come back through Harry or direct to Hannah and Ian, but we prefer it to come through Harry. Can I wish you a very good Christmas? Thanks a lot.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. That concludes today's conference call. Thank you for your participation. You may now disconnect.